Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Game and series to the top-seeded Houston Rockets. Harden tonight with 24-12, 5 rebounds. Capella, 26 points, 15 rebounds. Every starter for the Rockets in double figures.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The people that I'm talking to on other teams, for whatever that's worth, they believe that the Browns are going to take Baker Mayfield.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Now with 3 seconds left, Cleveland triggers in. James, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win. Uh-huh. LeBron James delivers. That's a winner in Cleveland.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
So the Joker is a wanted man. It makes a way out across the land. It seems sifting through the sand. So I tell you all the story about the Joker and the thief in the night.
All right, it is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Brendan Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this gorgeous, gorgeous Thursday afternoon. And, you know, sunshine aside, I am feeling absolutely amazing today.
Feeling amazing because it's NFL draft day?
No. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Not bad.
We're going to have our draft party out at Lad Tap House. Isaac and Suk will be out there.
Yeah, go drink some beer. Swigard's all suited and booted. He's ready to go.
He's ready to be Goodell today.
That's right.
You've got all the GMs are going to be out there having a good time. I'm actually not excited about the draft. I'm excited because it's about time that a team that I like tanked and gave me a reason to be happy about it. And yesterday they did. Because the Braves called up Ronald Acuña. And he finally made his debut yesterday against the Reds.
That's where we're starting the show today, huh? Some hot Atlanta Braves talk?
Well, we don't have to dive into the Braves per se. They've had the toughest schedule in the MLB to start the year.
Gotcha, nice.
But it's just nice to... Because we brought up tanking. And then I was able to catch a little bit of that Braves game.
Uh-huh.
And because my buddy has the package.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about our conversation, and like those are the moments where you go, yeah, 2-3 years of being crap and not really competing feels good now.
It's all worth it.
And they're, to me, they may not be a playoff team. They're hovering around 500 and they're struggling with the Reds. But it's nice to see a guy that everybody is calling like maybe Mike Trout level
talent
come up there. And I know he didn't hit home runs twice in a game, but man, he came close a couple times and then he had the single. It was just nice to see that it paid off a little bit.
Baseball is a unique sport that way because there's such an epic buildup for guys making their debuts, especially your top prospects, because, you know, in the NBA and the NFL, when guys get drafted, it's usually right away. Like the number one overall pick or the top NBA prospect, he's in the lineup from day one, and you just know, you pencil him in right after draft night. You know, okay, there's your starting shooting guard in insert city here next season. He's going to play a lot. Same thing will happen tonight. We'll get done with the draft, and most of these rookie quarterbacks will play next year. All the different, you know, Barkley's going to play. Nelson's going to play. These guys will be inserted right into the lineup. With baseball, you have to wait. And it's tough as a fan to do, but it builds it up. And I, like, just even as a Giants fan, I will never forget the debuts of some of the bigger name stars of the last 15, 20 years. Like, I'll never forget when Lincecum got called up and being jacked to watch him. He pitched on a Sunday night game against Philly, and he got just shelled, but he had, like, 8 strikeouts. It's like, all right, there's something there. He gave up 7 runs, but, hey, struck a bunch of guys out.
Look at this little guy.
Exactly. He's kind of cool. I'm on board with this. Like, when baseball guys make their debut, there's something about it because you've been waiting to see them for 2 or 3 years, and they're always listed as one of the top prospects, but nobody watches minor league baseball, so you literally never get a chance to see them until spring training, and then they make their debut.
Yeah, it was kind of cool last night. And I know not everybody's a Braves fan, but baseball is kind of that fun sport where – you know, unless you like the Yankees, most people are okay with you talking about the team. Did you see that Albies and Acuna both in the lineup?
It was 20 and 21 or
21 and yeah. 20 years old.
Yeah.
Youngest teammates since 1978.
It's just pretty kick-ass, man.
Albies has been really fun this
year. That's kick-ass, dude. I like bringing young guys up and letting them play.
Yeah.
It's a fun balance because then you get the added benefit of if you don't do good, you add another high draft pick to the mix.
Also made me think about Portland a little bit and if we ever have a team.
Every time I watch baseball.
Having a call-up and you're debating when you call them up. Like everybody was talking about with the Braves, should they bring up this phenom to start the year? And then the Braves are like, yeah, we're going to send him down and then bring him up later. It's a build-up, but it's a process that fans are patiently waiting for, and you finally get in, you're like, yes,
especially,
here we go.
Especially recently now, we've had a couple of guys with the case of getting sent back down just to keep the arbitration years in check. So if you don't play the first handful of weeks of the season, the club gets another year of control on you. And you saw this with Chris Bryant. Like Chris Bryant, when he was supposed to make his, he was just shelling everybody in spring training. He's the top prospect in baseball that year. And is he Under Armour or Adidas? I can't remember, but whatever company he is.
I think Bryant is Under Armour.
Under Armour. They put
he's Adidas.
Okay, so they put a big billboard right outside of Wrigley Field that was supposed to be there for opening day. And all this anticipation, but then the Cubs announced they're sending him back down because they couldn't call him up for like 3 weeks so they could have that extra year.
Yeah.
So this billboard of a kid who wasn't even playing was just right outside of Wrigley Field.
It's amazing, man. It's what gets you. It's what brings you in every single time. And Astros fans realized this last year watching that team win, knowing how bad they were for four straight years. But you get that payoff with a championship.
And right.
Again, the Braves are not going to win a championship. But just seeing that go down that way, you're like, all right, this was all worth it. We're going in the right direction now.
Hey, the young guys give you something to look forward to.
They do.
There's no hope, but at least there's something to watch on an early basis.
So sorry for starting the show with Atlanta Braves baseball talk.
It's okay. I did not see that coming today. You could have gone Cosby. You could have gone NFL.
Baseball stuff.
Could have gone NFL draft. I mean, there's a whole bunch of avenues to go down, and you went Braves.
We'll get to the NFL draft.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
We've got a lot to get to. Speaking of which, before we get to what's on tap, the Browns GM tonight for our mock draft party.
Okay, for the fans, the fan GM.
Yeah. He's saying, what's the dress code? I don't think he wants to pull a Sprague and show up super cash.
I think you should show up super cash. It's 85 degrees. Rock a t-shirt and flip-flops.
I'll tell you right now, Isaac Rop will be wearing next to nothing as he
No. For the GMs, whatever you're comfortable in.
Is Swigard's the only one that dresses up for
Yes.
this?
But he's taking on a role.
He's the commissioner. He's got to dress up for this.
Right.
Everybody else, yeah.
I need to give some thanks to Crystal at Hair M Lake Oswego for the do.
Okay.
We're doing shout-outs.
Shout-out, Crystal. Yeah. What's up?
Go, Crystal.
She a P1 of the station?
So, yes,
no
she
way.
Is.
Is she really?
No.
Yeah. Did you get the nice neck massage while you're at it?
Yeah, we got that. Got the little forearm and hand little flexology sort of thing with the moisturizer there. Hot towel, bit.
I don't have to go out as much. My sister-in-law cuts my hair. she's a hairstylist.
Yeah.
So I actually don't have to spend any money. But when I go out, I will say, I don't know how guys don't go get their hair cut. End up getting the. How do you not get the hot towel?
Right, massage? Right. You can't. Yeah, because most places I go now, they just do it automatically without asking you.
Yeah, that's you
how
have to be. Tell them I only want the haircut. Like if you're in a hurry, I got 20 minutes. I got to get in and out of here.
But there's some places they just do it for. They don't charge you extra for that. They just finish the cut and then they slap that hot towel on your neck and holy smokes, does that feel good?
When you get that mint shampoo, kind of bubbling on your head a little bit, and then they're rubbing it. I don't care who they are and what they look like. There is nothing more erotic than that feeling.
I've said this for years, and I stand by it. I loved getting my head checked for lice as a kid.
I did, too.
Remember that in elementary school?
Yeah, with the popsicle sticks.
They'd go in this, they'd kind of rub it, and they'd have to comb through everybody to make sure nobody had lice. It was like a free head massage. I loved every minute of it.
Me and my friends loved it, too, and I had a buddy that he was ahead of me in line, and he saw the nurse, and he goes, whoa.
Here
I hope
we
I
go.
Have lice.
Give me lice.
We're like 8 years old. It's like, what are we saying right now? All right, let's get to what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap? Brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. And it is NFL draft day, so of course we are going to talk about the NFL draft. We've got a fun one today. So at 12:30, for P1 listeners that have been around for a while, or maybe new listeners out there, a reminder and to give you a heads up, every single year in the NFL draft, we do this top 10 mock draft. And what we do is we do the top 10 picks, and we bring on a media member. Jason Swigard works the phones, and he dials up 10 media members from the 10 different cities. And we intro it in, you know, Roger Goodell style with the fifth pick in the draft. So-and-so selects. And then the individual gives the pick of the team he thinks, who he thinks the team is going to take. And it's usually somebody, if not always, somebody that covers said team. So that's coming up at 12:30.
It's a lot of fun, and you do a lot of work on this.
It turns out, a lot of emails written.
Turns out great every year.
Also, you would be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, of how many NFL beat writers still have AOL emails.
I didn't know AOL still existed.
80% of them I counted.
That's a thing?
Had AOL emails.
Huh.
So that'll be coming up at 12:30.
Does instant messaging still exist? Can you still do that?
That ceased to exist about a month ago.
Really?
You don't remember that story?
No. How do we not talk about that?
Yeah, they officially signed off. Goodbye.
What was your name? Do you remember your name?
Yeah, it was Pimp Daddy 420.
Nice.
I was 10 years old.
Nice.
I knew no meaning of
I don't know if I can remember those three things. I don't know if I can remember my name.
Yeah.
My AIM name.
We tried to make the coolest names.
Yeah, it was always a big deal.
Like I had one, there was one friend of mine, just the most suburban white kid you ever met, and his was like Thug Master. Yeah, I don't think he was really a thug.
Oh, AOL messaging was the bee's knees
it
back
really
in the day.
It really was. BRB, baby. So at 12:30, we'll do our NFL mock draft. We have another mock draft we're going to do on this show today with us three. We're going to do the top 10 picks between us. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to beat Mel Kiper.
Yeah, we're aiming to beat Mel.
So we've taken Mel Kiper's top 10 mock drafts, and we've made our own picks according to what we think the team needs and who they take. And we're going to have Mel chime in with each pick that we make. And we're going to compare it tomorrow and see how we did against Mel Kiper's mock draft.
Yeah, and the top 10. So we had a promotions goddess, Morgan. She picked a number between 1 and 10. Then we all guessed a number, whoever was closest. And we have deciphered the round of the top 10, the order, and we're going to go snake style. So it goes myself, then Swag, then you, and we'll snake all the way through the top 10, and we'll make our picks.
So we'll do that today at 2 o'clock. We will talk about the NBA playoffs, LeBron James hitting a game winner, also a missed goaltending call. And I can actually defend the missed call. So we'll talk about that. And then we brought up Russell Westbrook yesterday. And then, of course, he goes off and outscores the Utah Jazz by himself in the final 20 minutes of that as they have an incredible comeback. Reuben Foster's case in San Francisco took an interesting turn this morning. And then we've got Swag's Plums at 2:15. We've got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. Coming up next, let's be cautious when we choose to judge these athletes. I'll explain more next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. We got some poll questions up at Dirt and Sprague. In about 11 minutes, we're going to get to our NFL mock draft, top 10 picks and top 10 cities with 10 different beat writers. We'll get their thoughts where they think their team that they cover is going to go tonight in the NFL draft. Jason Swigard has his fingers ready to dial them all up, and we'll put them all up here on our phone lines and fire them away. But before we get to that, I want to pull out two poll questions that we have. The first is, are the Browns going to screw this up? Yes or no? Because I think everybody's thinking it's going to happen.
Well, so far, 87% of people are saying, yeah, no bleep, Sherlock. They're going to screw this thing up.
Okay. And the second poll question, this is something maybe we get to later on in the show, Dirt, because I think this is a pretty big story and it's non-sports. Take yourself back 35 years, right? Take yourself back 35 years.
Okay.
If I told you at that time Bill Cosby was going to die in prison and O.J. Simpson would be thought of as a murderer, which would have been more surprising to you? I know some people can't answer that because they weren't alive in 35 years ago. But if you know history and you know how popular these two guys were and who they were considered.
Yeah, there was somebody in the office today that didn't know any of this stuff about Bill Cosby.
None.
She was like, wait, what? What happened to Bill Cosby?
She is 23.
It's like, seriously?
24?
Where have you been for 5 years?
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. But he was found guilty today. So that's a poll question. Simpson or Cosby, which one's the more surprising one if you were to go back 35 years ago? So we'll maybe talk about that a little later on. Josh Allen is He's not having a great day, not a good start to his day.
No, he's the Laramie Tunzel of this year, if you will.
Yes, he is.
Some late stuff leaking right before the draft.
Somebody, and nobody knows who, went back and noticed that some old tweets from Josh Allen when he was back in, what was his, high school.
This would have been, I think they were circa 2010.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this might even have been before because he's, what, 21 years old? So you're going back to almost 13.
So maybe middle school.
Right.
That Josh Allen was tweeting racially insensitive words and very controversial things for somebody probably of his age to be tweeting, wrong things to be tweeting. And now people are wondering if this is going to knock him off the draft board for a lot of teams. And without having to say we know that these things are wrong to say, let's be honest about this. You and I didn't grow up as children with Twitter.
No, we did not.
And God bless it, because there would be words that you can no longer say that I used to say all the time jokingly with friends that you would probably find old tweets of mine.
Would have stupidly sent out as a 14-year-old, absolutely.
And so I get that those things don't reflect well on him right in the moment, but let's also remember how old people are when they're doing this. This is just kind of what this is now with social media. It's around in 09. A lot of these athletes now that are going pro, they're like, as you mentioned, 13, 14 years old. They get on and they say dumb things as 13 and 14-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't need to destroy the guy as a 21-year-old now going pro for being idiotic at 13 and 14.
Yeah, if you didn't see what he tweeted, it was something to the effect of, if it ain't white, it ain't right, or something like that.
He also tweeted some N-words.
Yeah, and he, you know, some stuff about females. And, you know, look, as you mentioned, it's easy to say this stuff is inexcusable because it is. But I tend to agree with you that it's hard to – 14-year-olds are dumb. And I think we can all agree on that, that you just take yourself back to where you were at that age. And you're a stupid kid. And I put this in the line of a lot of these other criticisms that have come to the other quarterbacks in this year's draft class. You know, granted, this one happened a little bit earlier than the stuff that happened to the other kids, but I don't view this any differently than a college kid in Baker Mayfield getting drunk and deciding to run from the cops, or Josh Rosen putting a hot tub in his room as an 18-year-old freshman at UCLA thinking it was a funny thing to do, or being outspoken about certain things. Like, when you're that young, you were going to make mistakes. And nobody knew any of this about Josh Allen. There's never been anything rumored or said about him and the way that he feels, you know, about certain races. And then it comes out of nowhere. The you know, one of the things that I thought when I first saw the story was, I don't know how you don't have a team in this day and age that goes back and scrubs this kind of stuff. Who was the kid that went off for Villanova in the title game? What was his name? The sixth man who made all those shots.
DiVincenzo.
Yes, right?
So he had some too.
Right after the title game, people scrolled back on his Twitter account to like 2011.
By the way, do you know how long you have to, like, I know how pathetic your life is to want to scroll that long?
To go all the way back, I don't know. I don't understand how, in this day and age, though, these guys haven't learned their lesson and just scrubbed it. Go back and wipe this stuff off, because I'm sure if somebody wanted to take the time, you could scroll. The Facebook is probably the earliest thing that I was on, because Twitter wasn't around back then. I'm sure as an 18-year-old freshman in college, I said some pretty dumb stuff on Facebook that I haven't deleted.
And I've gotten reminders. Right? I've seen what I used to say.
And if I was a more prominent figure and somebody wanted to, I'm sure you could go scroll back and find something that I said and point it out and show it to an employer, or show it to somebody, you know, ahead of a big job interview. People are stupid at that age. It doesn't excuse what he did. What he said is not right. He's apologized for it, and I think we need to be careful and just not label him as a racist and say he's not willing to playing in the NFL, because people are going that strong.
It's just stupid. I just think it's so dumb to me that we hold these things over these players' heads so often. It's ridiculous. And, you know, you wake up and I see the story. He's got tweets. And I guess I'm just to a point now, because you've had a few athletes do this. You mentioned the Villanova player. I totally forgot about him. I mean, that was almost instantaneous. It was right after they had won it. He was on the podium, and if I'm not mistaken, I think somebody asked him about one of the tweets, because somebody went and found him and made them all public. I don't know, man. It's tough for me to sit here and really judge somebody. Like, were you wrong in talking like that?
Of course.
Sure. But again, most of us, ones listening and us talking, we didn't have this in our life. We didn't grow up with this. This wasn't normal for us. We talked the way we talked when nobody else was around but the people we trusted. and it wasn't put out there for all the world to see.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting caught one time saying ass, and my mom caught me. And that feeling you got when your parent would catch you saying mm-hmm. something you know you shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
that like that just pit of your stomach, and you're just like,
right.
like you lose all the air. That's not a good feeling. So this is just amplified because now the whole world saw you say that one word that one time.
Right. And look, somebody's saying he did scrub it. Apparently he deleted stuff, but he did it about a month ago, and somebody screenshotted the tweets.
Oh, it was a team for sure trying to either get him.
Sure.
And that's what I wonder is who did
this. Well, and that's where I go back to Josh Allen. Like, even you go back a year ago, and Josh Allen was on the radar for people. He was starting to be mentioned. Going into last year for Wyoming, he was like the next Cam Newton for some folks. That's why there was intrigue around the Wyoming-Oregon game. So this kid knew he was going to go to the next level. And this should be a teaching point for future athletes to go back anything before a certain point and just delete stuff. Or just delete your account in general and start a new one if you've had the same account since you were 13 years old.
Yeah, so Josh Allen wakes up and everybody finds old tweets from when he was a teenager. And they're trying to bring him down on the NFL draft boards. We'll see if this changes anything. I still maintain it's probably a team. And this doesn't surprise me the way that league operates. Make it work in your benefit. Put it out there. He slides a little bit. You trade up. Boom. You've got the guy you wanted, Josh Allen. And you never tell anybody. All right. Let's do our NFL mock draft. Top 10 picks in the top 10 cities. So coming up next, what we're going to do is we are going to line up 10 beat writers with the teams who have the top 10 picks in the NFL draft. And we are going to rapid fire, line it up like the NFL draft. And they'll give us their thoughts on the player they think the team they cover is going to take. Our NFL mock draft is next. All right, 12:32. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Give us a follow on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague. We do this every year. We get a lot of fun out of it. Jason Swigard works his butt off. He got them lined up right now. They're on the horn. It's our NFL mock draft. We are going to do the top 10 picks, and we're going to go to the top 10 cities and have a beat guy on every single team. Give us their thoughts on where they think the team is going to go with their pick. We're going to change it a little bit this year. Process of elimination. If Baker Mayfield's taken, somebody else cannot take him after he was selected. So here we go. We're going to start in Cleveland with our guy Zach Jackson of The Athletic. He's on Twitter at Akron Jackson. And with the first overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select
Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC. They've needed a quarterback since I was in elementary school. And Sam's only 20 years old, smart guy, mobile guy. There's no perfect prospect in this draft, but he is the most sensible and maybe the only sensible one. So maybe the Browns finally get this right and select Sam Darnold.
Who do you think their backup is? If let's say they change their mind, they go Cleveland Browns on everybody, who would the second option be at number one?
That's a great question. I know they like Baker Mayfield, and there's a lot to like about Baker Mayfield, but I'm not sure you take a 6-foot ticking time bomb with the number one pick.
All right, there we go. Hey, Zach, are you good to hang around, and we'll get back to you with the fourth pick?
I'll be right here.
All right, cool. There we go. Zach Jackson, The Athletic, Browns beat writer at Akron Jackson. All right, we move on to the second pick with our good friend Jerry Foley, the GiantInsider.com on Twitter, at GiantInsider. Give him a follow for all things New York Giants. With the second pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select
Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
Controversial move to the fan base, or are they good with it?
I think most of them are good with it now. I think he's been the consensus favorite for a while. There are some fans who I believe want a quarterback, and they want to kind of move on from Eli in a couple years and kind of have that guy ready. Some like Chubb, but I think for the most part, fans want to give Eli another shot at doing something, and there'd be nothing like giving him a running game and a running back of the caliber of Barkley.
Do you think they try to go for a quarterback later in the draft?
It depends on what they feel about Davis Webb, right? So right now he's done all the right things. The coaching staff's kind of high on him based on his work ethic. It would not surprise me if the Giants traded back into the first and picked up like a Mason Rudolph or Lamar Jackson, if they were to do a move like that, right? If they were to be interested in the, not the second tier of quarterbacks, but after the after Rosen, Allen, Darnold, and Mayfield, you know, Rudolph and Lamar Jackson are just, I guess, somewhere right below them. It wouldn't shock me if they did that, or if they were there in two, they would take them. But I don't think the Giants would do anything to force the issue. I think if they don't take a quarterback at two, I think that means they believe Eli's going to play for at least another 2 years, and that they're pretty high on Davis Webb.
All right, there we go. Jerry Foley, senior editor, Giant, thegiantinsider.com on Twitter, at Giant Insider. Thank you so much for the time, Jerry, and we'll maybe talk to you next year with the Giants pick if they're there.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
All right, always nice to catch up with an old friend, and Daryl Slater is just that for Dirt and Sprague. He is the Jets beat reporter at New Jersey Advanced Media, NJ.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Daryl Slater, and he joins us now. Thanks for joining us, Daryl. With the third pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select.
The Jets, at least in my mind, what I would do is I would take Josh Rosen with Sam Darnold off the board at number one to the Browns, and Saquon Barkley going second to the Giants. I don't think the Jets will consider Josh Allen there. I think Rosen is the best option over Baker Mayfield, a slight edge there. But what do I think the Jets will do? I could see them taking Mayfield. I would take Rosen, but I could see them taking Mayfield.
Let's say Cleveland kind of throws a wrench in this thing because Zach Jackson said they're going to take Darnold. So let's go away. Let's say they surprise everybody. They go Josh Allen. Mel Kiper's right. How does that shake it up for the Jets, in your opinion?
Well, I think that'll be fascinating if that happens, because then Sam Darnold is available for the Giants at number two. The Giants could use a quarterback. Sure looks like they're set on taking Saquon Barkley. But I think the interesting thing there is they could bluff to the Jets and say, look, we're going to take Darnold unless you come up to number two and come get him. Give us a pick or two to make the move. The Jets, will they call the bluff there and say, nope, we think you're taking Barkley? Or will they make the move to make sure they get Darnold? Or will they, you know, will they just stay at three, hope Darnold falls to them? If he doesn't, then go Rosen or Mayfield. I think the Jets would be totally fine with Josh Allen going number one overall to the Browns and hoping that Darnold falls into their lap at three, which certainly could happen.
Yeah, there we go. Daryl Slater, NJ.com, Jets beat writer. He's joined us before. Thank you so much for the time, Daryl. We always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, he's going to join us yet again, Zach Jackson, the Athletic, Browns beat writer. You can find him on Twitter, at Akron Jackson, kind enough to join us for their second pick in the first round, the Cleveland Browns. With the fourth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select.
Well, we're auctioning that pick, but since we can't really hear, we're taking Bradley Chubb, NC State. Kind of a no-brainer. Top pass rushers are hard to find, and you pair Chubb with Myles Garrett, and maybe you finally have an area of strength for the Browns.
All right, there we go. Zach Jackson, Browns beat writer for The Athletic. Great stuff, man. You can find him on Twitter, at Akron Jackson. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on to another team potentially looking at a quarterback. Andrew Mason, DenverBroncos.com, orange and blue, 760 in Denver with the Broncos. And with the fifth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select
Baker Mayfield, quarterback from Oklahoma. I got to say, if you want Mayfield, and certainly the Broncos, they've scouted Mayfield closely. They coached him at the Senior Bowl, talked to him at the Combine, had a huge contingent at his pro day, had him in for a visit in Denver earlier this month. They've done their homework on Mayfield. And if the draft board falls like this and Mayfield is sitting at five, I think he's going to be the pick.
Are Bronco fans jacked about that move?
They would be tremendously jacked, of course. When we get down to Thursday night, we'll see what happens at the top of the draft. Of course, there's some rumblings that the Jets are as keen on Baker Mayfield as the Broncos would be. And if Mayfield's off the board, then I could see the Broncos going for Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame or something on the defensive side.
All right, there we go. Andrew Mason, DenverBroncos.com, orange and blue, 760 in Denver, and he's on Twitter, at Mace Denver. Thanks for the time, Andrew.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, well, from one team taking a quarterback, let's go to another that already has one. The Indianapolis Colts are on the clock, and Tom James, Terre Haute Tribune star, covers the Colts. He's on Twitter, at Tribstar, T. James. He joins us now with the sixth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. The Indianapolis Colts select?
Rokan Smith, a linebacker from Georgia.
What makes them go that route?
They need linebacker help. Going to a 4-3 defense, new defensive scheme. They need some playmakers. They need some guys who can get to the football. That's something they've been lacking for a while. And I know that Chris Ballard, the general manager, and Frank Reich, the new head coach, that's one thing they wanted to improve the defense. They need to find some guys who can run, are athletic, and can make things happen. And they got one last year in Malik Hooker, the safety, and Rokon Smith is a guy that I know they really like, and he's a guy they think can come in and make a big impact as a rookie.
There we go. Colts beat writer Tom James. He's on Twitter at Tribstar T James with the pick for the Indianapolis Colts. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, anytime.
All right, now we're winding down to the bottom of the top 10 here with our Dirt and Sprague NFL mock draft top 10 picks in the top 10 cities. And we head to Tampa Bay now to talk to our friend Trevor Sikkema. You can find him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, pewterreport.com. Thanks for joining us in Portland, Trevor. Let's go here with the number 7 pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Bucks select.
I think I'm going to put my foot down, and I'm going to bet that it's going to be Derwin James, safety from Florida State. Too many connections there. The need is there. Florida State obviously being close to where they are. They like picking those guys when the talent is there. So I think it makes too much sense there for Derwin James. It's kind of be almost like a floor for them at number 7 if those other guys aren't there.
There we go. Trevor Sikkema on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. PewterReport.com is where you can find him. Thanks so much for the time, Trevor. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, a lot of intrigue about this next team and what they're going to do in the NFL draft. So we thought it'd be a lot of fun to bring on our friend Shane Riordan, 670 The Score in Chicago. He's on Twitter at Shane_Riordan. He joins us now with the 8th pick in the 2018 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select
Notre Dame offensive right guard Quentin Nelson.
How do Bears fans feel about that pick?
Well, I think Bears fans should be absolutely ecstatic. The Bears bring in his offensive line coach throughout college, and Harry, he will go down as a generational talent. He's a can't miss. He's a plug and play day one starter. And if you are investing as much into Mitch Trubisky as they are, and they absolutely are, then you need whatever you can get to protect him. And the Bears do not have a wonderful offensive line. They've got a revolving door and left tackle at Charles Leno. Kyle Long is often injured, and Cody Whitehair is playing out of position at guard. He should probably be an all-pro and a Pro Bowl center. And bringing in Quentin Nelson, I'm surprised nobody's picked him yet, obviously moves Cody Whitehair back to his best position of center and shores up that offensive line, no problem.
Yeah, for a guy that's been labeled a surefire Hall of Famer by multiple people in NFL circles, it is a pretty big surprise that he's there at 8, but that's a hell of a pick by the Bears to protect Trubisky. There we go, Shane Riordan, 670, The Score in Chicago. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Shane_Riordan. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we're kind of at the tail end of this thing. We've got the 9th pick, a lot of interest, and Dylan DeSimone is he's on the clock right now, 4thandnine.co. He's on Twitter, at Dylan A. D. E. Simone. With the 9th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select.
Yeah, I think they have to take Denzel Ward, the cornerback out of Ohio State. He is a perfect fit for their press man scheme. He's a press corner from Ohio State. He's got very good technique. And the unique thing about Denzel Ward is that with the 49ers having two boundary corners right now, with Akello Witherspoon and then obviously Richard Sherman, they can have Ward come in, play the nickel, which is a common package for defenses now around the league, which is a pass-happy league. So they'll be prepared for today's NFL, and Denzel Ward will be able to kick outside as a boundary corner in certain situations, and also they'll have a succession plan once Richard Sherman is done.
There we go. Good stuff. Dylan DeSimone, 4thandnine.co. Thanks so much for the time, Dylan.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, let's wrap it up. The final pick in our NFL Top 10 mock draft, Top 10 picks in the Top 10 cities, and we will wrap it up with Phil Barber, Raiders beat writer for the Press Democrat. You can find him on Twitter, at @skinny_post. And with the 10th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Oakland Raiders select.
The Oakland Raiders select Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker from Virginia Tech.
Where do you think their options are? If it's not Tremaine, who else could it be, possibly?
They do have some other options there. I'll tell you what, they're still ticked off about losing that coin flip to the 49ers because those teams actually share some of the same needs. But a couple other possibilities I see would be Minkah Fitzpatrick, who I think is a fantastic player. He might be a better overall player than Edmonds. In fact, I think he probably is, but the Raiders have such a need at linebacker, and especially someone who could play inside, that I think Edmonds would be irresistible. But another couple of possibilities would be McGlinchey, the tackle. I don't think he's been taken in your mock, and Raiders definitely could use a little help there with one of their probably their best tackle, Donald Penn, getting up in years and coming off of an injury. And then one more thought would be Vita Vea, the big Washington defensive tackle, because that is another position of need for the Raiders.
Yeah, we know him well here in Pac-12 countries. A heck of a player. It's going to be interesting. Year one with John Gruden. Thanks so much. Phil Barber, the Press Democrat on Twitter, @skinny_posts. Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
All right, there you go. Well done. Well done, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. I have nothing to do with that every single year, and you guys knock it out of the ballpark every single
year. Great job, Swigard. Seemed like this year was maybe a little easier than last year in terms of getting him on the phone. Remember last year we had like a pick where one guy wasn't answering the phone.
Yeah, that flowed pretty well right there.
Yeah, we're starting to get the hang of this after, what, four years?
I think it's the fourth year we've done that, yeah. So what'd you think?
Well, I tweeted out the pick, so anybody who maybe tuned in late, you can go find them at Turton Sprague of where everybody went. I do like that the number one pick in Cleveland, they're agreeing with me. I'm not fully sold on this Baker Mayfield
stuff.
Well,
we have our own mock draft coming up
later. We do, and I have the number one pick, so to maybe give you what sources close to dirt are saying he's going to do with the number one pick. I still like Sam Darnold number one, and I wouldn't be shocked if the rest of it kind of flows that way. The big turning points are going to be the Giants, obviously, at two. Do they take a running back, do they take a quarterback, or do they trade down? And then I really do think once you get past four, actually, really once you get past three, the rest of it can be a crapshoot.
It's a wild card, yeah.
Because the Browns have mentioned they want to trade four. The Broncos have said number five is up for sale. The Colts don't need a quarterback, and somebody could come in and blow them away with an offer at number six. Same thing goes for the Bucks, the Bears, the 49ers, and the Raiders. You could see a lot of action. You know the Jets need a quarterback, and you know the Browns need a quarterback at one and three. Broncos are potential, but they've offered the pick for trade. So the top 10 could be absolutely crazy tonight. We can have all these mock drafts, and four of the teams might end up picking in different spots.
All right, let me ask this question, and we'll go to break on this. Are the Browns going to screw this up? 55305, next on The Fan.
Okay, and we played the first thing.
Hey, we got a lot to get to in hour number two. We'll get to the NBA as we just did our NFL mock draft. And I asked this question for the break. Will the Browns screw it up today? They have picks 1 and 4. Baker Mayfield's picking up a lot of steam. He is a favorite in Vegas, by the way, to be the number one overall pick. Chris Mortensen reported that their GM, is it John Dorsey? It's John, right?
I believe so.
John Dorsey.
I know it's Dorsey, but I couldn't remember his first name. Their GM for the Browns said a month ago to their owner, Jimmy Haslam, he knew a month ago who he was taking.
Ooh.
And he let the owner know. He just let Hugh Jackson know 2 days ago. And so he's really kept this one close to the vest. But it kind of got out. Mary Kay Cabot, I'll give her credit. She's one of the best NFL beat writers out there. And she's covered the Browns for a long time for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She had a report that they were looking at Allen and Mayfield, and people were scoffing at her. No, there's no way. Look, it may be Darnold. But right now, I mean, Vegas has him as the favorite to be the number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield.
That is, it's kind of an upset for me. It's like almost out of left field. If you would have told me 6 weeks ago that he would be the Vegas odds-on favorite the day of the draft to be the number one pick, I would have said you're crazy. I don't see that coming.
Is that crazier than Allen to you?
No. I think Josh Allen is the worst of the four that are going to go, at least in the top five, top ten. We'll see where Allen ends up being picked. But It just is a shocker because there didn't seem to be as much buzz around him as the top prospect. There's some outlets like Pro Football Focus who have long maintained he's the best prospect they've seen at that position in a while, and they have, you know, numbers to back it up and some of the throws that he made in college. And I go back to what I've said now for a couple of weeks. I want to know how much of this is trying to control the message, how much of this is trying to fool other teams, and how much is just trying to keep everybody on their toes. Because if you go back 3 weeks ago, it was, you know, folks close to John Dorsey, he's told his friends that Josh Allen is the number one pick.
or for a long time it was, it's a no-brainer. Sam Darnold is a lock to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. And now, right now, on the eve, you know, the last 48, 72 hours before the draft, it is, Baker Mayfield likely going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and now he's the odds-on favorite in Vegas. We've heard three different things over the last month and a half, and I just it's hard to decipher what is real and what is them
right.
just simply trying to throw people off their trail.
But see, here's the thing. So we've talked a little bit about that, right? Teams that are trying to change the thinking of other teams. And that's not unusual. That's been happening in all sports drafts. What do they benefit by having it out there that Baker Mayfield is going to be taken one?
It could be with the number four pick.
To trade the four pick.
It could be with the
give
number
us a
four
better
pick.
Package for four if you think we're think taking
that,
Mayfield.
I think that's their big play here. I'm not shy. I believe him that he says he knows who he wants number one overall, and he's known for a long time.
I've always thought that, yeah.
This is all to me about the number four pick because teams. And look, this is going to depend on what happens at two and three. If the Giants don't take a quarterback, especially, there is going to be so much value in that number four pick. They are going to get a crazy offer thrown at them. If the Bears are willing to do it last year for Mitchell Trubisky, somebody's going to be willing to do it for either Rosen if he's still there, Mayfield if he's still there, Allen, or hell, if they don't take any of them, maybe it's Sam Darnold that's still there
right.
at number four. So this to me is all about a play for the number four pick. They're going to try and pick up a handful of first, you know, obviously move down a little bit this year, get some first round picks and drafts to come. That to me is their long-term play in this.
All right, so we'll get to a little bit more draft stuff later on in the show. We're going to take a break from the NFL draft. You got a fun
Can spot? I say this, though? Because you asked a question going into the break. Are they going to screw it up?
Yeah.
And I'm going to feel like I'm going to keep doubling down every single year.
This is the year they don't?
I don't think they screw it up this year.
What was the last draft they had where we said they didn't screw it up?
Well, did they screw up last year?
Well, I mean, you took first round, didn't they?
I don't think Kaiser was a first-round pick, was he?
Was he
I know
second?
Miles Garrett was their obviously.
Miles Garrett was good.
He was a number one pick.
But he was also banged up.
They didn't reach for a quarterback. They didn't take Mitchell Trubisky or Mahomes or maybe should have taken Watson. But
yeah, was Kaiser second round?
I'd have to go back and look.
I thought he was late first. I thought they came back in and got him.
That's what I thought, too.
By the way, something we're going to do in the final hour of the show. So last year on draft day, we wrote down our lock, our bust, and our sleeper pick in the draft.
Did you find them?
I have them.
Yes.
And I'm going to read them in the final hour of the show.
Who has the most ridiculous one? Is it me or Swigard?
It's probably me.
Mine wasn't great. he was late second round.
Yours isn't great because you die on the hills.
Well, I Kaiser was my sleeper pick, and then he ended up going to the damn Browns. And it's like, all right, well, great. Here goes his rookie year.
Okay, so that'll be fun. We got our mock draft. We'll do that at 2 o'clock with insight by none other than Mel Kiper Jr. But let's get to a loaded second hour. Bill Cosby's going to jail. How crazy is that, thinking back 30 years ago? We will get to crunch time. Reuben Foster and his case has changed. We found that out this morning. Russell Westbrook has an answer for all the critics. And LeBron James has maybe the greatest goaltend of all time that wasn't called a goaltend. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague, back with more on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.